You're listening to the Overeaters Anonymous Mid-Peninsula podcast. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. For more information, please visit oamidpeninsula.org.
Message that I didn't know I was hearing so much when I first came in the room. And so I brought my bag of tricks because I'm a very tactile, visual person. You may have no idea about that, but I am. And so I wanted to share with you in the tradition what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And I wanted to, one of the things that we do that also that we don't always talk about is bring pictures. And I hate showing pictures of my before. And at the time that those pictures were taken, I thought I looked great. You know, and it might have been because I was really happy that day or, you know, I had the right color lipstick on. I don't know what it was, but it's important for me that I realize when I sit with you that I am in a program of shared disease and a fellowship that supports me in every way that I didn't know that I could ever talk about this. We just didn't talk about this. So I just want to, I'll pass them around, but they're not a big deal. But I just wanted to say a couple of things that this was me in junior high playing basketball. So even at that time, I felt like I was fat, was bigger than all the other kids, and I was always athletic. Then this is me like 20 years later traveling. Then this is me with one of my boyfriends when I felt really good. This is me in Italy feeling so fat, so awful. This is me walking a 3-day, 50-mile MS walk for fundraising. I'm third from the left. This is me in Africa in the big orange and black striped, big oversized shirt, feeling awful. And this is me at maintenance a few years ago. So I will qualify, but I wanted to show you these because throughout my life, there are highs and lows, and no matter what size I did live my life, but I was always obsessed that I wasn't the right size, I didn't look right, and maybe I couldn't do things. But what I have today is recovery. And I have been, actually next month, I think in end of January, was the first time I walked into rooms for the third time. I never went consistently before, I went a couple of times. And so I have 5 years and like 10 months or 11 months of abstinence with about a 70-pound weight release. And I was probably over 200 pounds. I don't know for sure. And so my weight is probably even more lost, but that's okay. But what I realize is, so what happened was, many of you know, you've heard my story, and for those of you who haven't, or for those of you who have, I hope I can share something maybe new. But I grew up in the South. I was the youngest of four kids in a family of six. And we were a close family on the outside, but my mother and her father and my father and his mother, doesn't matter, we're all overweight. We're all fat. And being Jewish, just like you might say you're a Christian or you're a human or you're a mother, food was everything. Celebration of any event was all about food. And so I started really young going to the pantry after school. I was the only one home. I was there with our housekeeper, which was a very common Southern thing. It wasn't luxury. I mean, it was luxury, but it wasn't, it's not because we were rich. We were good. But anyway, I spent a lot of time going to the pantry, and I ate, and I hid the food. I used to go in the fridge, and after my parents would have a party, I would go back and have a sliver of this and a sliver of that. And I'd ride my bike, and I'd save my allowance and go to 7-Eleven and buy candy. And, you know, I couldn't wait to eat it, ate it out the door or on my bike on the way home. And so it's been, so then I, in high school, I quit basketball and I quit tennis. So I was a really active kid in riding my bike, and then I kind of quit all that and got very active socially in B'nai B'rith, like a club, and was dating, but I kept gaining weight. And at the same time, my dad owned a boutique, and we had like six of these stores. And I worked at the stores, and it was all clothing. But I was obsessed, and my dad, too, was obsessed with appearance and clothing and outfits. And the products would come into the store, and me and my sisters, we would all be the first ones to take the extra large. I mean, it was just, you know, because that's the size we needed, and there would only be like four of them or five pieces, and we always were there, and it was terrible. Anyway, the stores didn't make it in the end. But and then in college, it was scary and isolating. I went to Colorado, University of Colorado Boulder, and I thought I would, this idea of fantasy, oh, I'm leaving my state, I'm leaving all the people that know me, I'm gonna remake myself. And that is a lie. And you can learn new things and be part of new things, but wherever I go, there I am. And I felt like I couldn't keep up with the Joneses there. There was a lot of skiing, there was a lot of money there, there was a lot of drugs. And I tried a little bit of everything. There was a lot of dating, a lot of sleeping around. And I just kept thinking, oh, if I do this, then this will happen. And if I lose weight, then this will happen. If I, you know, that it'll be more fun. I'll have more friends. I'll have more long-term boyfriends. I'll have more opportunities. And it was just a crapshoot.
7 minutes.
Oh, thank you. See, I always forget. So then I have to say what happened, if I can get there. I do want to say that after college, I did travel for 2 years and 9 months. Mm-hmm. I backpacked to, I don't know, a dozen countries. I was in Southeast Asia, in South Pacific, so New Zealand, Australia, Philippines, Japan, Thailand, Hong Kong, Burma, Nepal. Anyway, I hiked, I did everything. But I want to tell you that during that time, I was alone a lot. And I would make friends along the way, but I found ways to binge. Compulsive overeater, food addict. I could be camping and I would have a packet of biscuits and I would eat the whole thing, or I'd buy peanuts or whatever it was, but I could binge everywhere I went. I was stronger because I was moving all the time, but I participated in a lot, but things were always harder. And I always was, you know, different. And I felt fatter, but I loved the experience. I loved the world. It gave me the first chance, maybe, of my spirituality. Because I really, now, after, you know, over 5.5 years in the program, the three-legged stool, emotional, physical, spiritual, I think today I'm realizing that that experience of living outside of the U.S., living outside of the comfort of my friends and family, was really heartwarming for me to see there's another way to live. There's not one way to do it. And to think outside myself and to embrace other cultures and other ideas and see how I fit in there. And so, anyway, fast forward, I moved back to California. I moved to California, and I was working, and I created a new group, but I had a friend who was begging me to go to OA meetings, because she had been going to OA meetings. And we say, you know, we have attraction, not promotion. That's how we advertise. Is through people asking us what we have. And it really upset me that week after week, month after month, she would continue to say, you've gotta come to these meetings with me. And so I went with her. It was after months. I went to a big meeting in Mountain View years ago. I don't know, 20 years ago. And I hated it. I mean, it was like, is this a cult? I was just so completely underwhelmed and I felt imprisoned. And fast forward a few more years, I was lucky enough to put myself in therapy, go to therapy, and find that I was very unhappy on medication for my mental health, and I was crying and going to therapy twice a week. And in the fall of 2017, my therapist and I talked about fellowship, that she had other clients who were in other 12-step programs. And so I walked into the Wednesday 5:30 hospital, Mills Hospital meeting, and went to my first meeting by my choice. And I was just like deer in the headlights. And I didn't say anything to anybody, I didn't talk to anybody, and I was just overwhelmed. I felt that the first, all I could do, I couldn't hear hardly anything was going on, but I knew I had to keep going back. And I was lucky to have a therapist. And so I did keep going back, and the message was, go to 6 meetings, go to a month of meetings, find a sponsor, find someone that has what you want. And so I ended up at the Saturday 10 o'clock meeting and met my first sponsor. And she said, one of the things that she said to me was, to the group, was instead of going to meetings and figuring out when I have time to go to an OA meeting and figuring out if I have time to make this food or not, is to prioritize my program. The meetings come first, my social life comes second. My food comes before meetings, grocery store shopping, action plan, all these things come before the meeting. It come before my life, my travel, because I need to prioritize this program so that I can have a life. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand it until I understood it. And it's worth coming back, because I notice every year, as the months go by, I learn a new way of how I see myself and how I reflected. I was a difficult sponsee because I didn't understand this. I wanted things to be different. I wanted my food to be different. I didn't know why we had to do this, and I thought it was so much time. And but I did it. So again, one of the first, you know, words of wisdom is act as if. And I did. I followed the food plan. I called my sponsor every day. I submitted my food every day. I went to 3 meetings a week, and I was angry about it. I kind of resented it, but I kept coming back to hear you, to hear your stories of recovery, to hear that you have the same disease as me, to hear that I am not the only one walking around in shame, and that this is real, and that all these decades before going to Weight Watchers, little show and tell, Weight Watchers, gold stars, 5 pounds, 5 pounds, 5 pounds, monthly pass, Weight Watchers, right? Seriously, my driver's license with the fake weight on it. They didn't write their license with the wrong weight. And I, you know, I just thought, I'm just going to act as if. And another big part of it, again, back to the three-legged stool, is that there's a higher power. And I didn't understand it. And then when I was ready to hear it, someone said, look in the big book, you know, I don't have it here today. We agnostics. And so reading that, and I had a sponsor who was pretty religious traditionally. And so I was really like, I don't get this. I don't get this. And I didn't have, thank you, I don't have to get it. And I found enough people in the program who could talk to me and say, you do what's right for you. There's not one way to have a higher power. There's not one way of having a God. There's not one way. But are there things here that are working? And why was I not binging? Like, once I started on February 27th, why did I stop? I haven't binged since then, 2018. And I haven't had a snack, and I haven't had sugar. And I wonder, because of the fellowship. And so what it's like now is, I wanted to show you that I, when I told you that when I first started the program that I was obstinate, it's because I didn't understand. It seemed like there was so much to ask. Like, you have to do the questions. Well, now, I, just as an example, I did the For Today workbook, and I write every day. So whether I commit it to my sponsor or not, I used to write on my computer, and then I found, so I read one reading from For Today and write on it. And then when that finished, this year I've been doing Voices of Recovery. So I write every day, and sometimes I take pictures of it if I'm traveling, and so I can write on my phone, and it doesn't go in the book. But whether I commit this or not, I found that by the first part in the HAL program is writing a question a day and committing it to your sponsor and going through the 12 steps and the 275 questions or whatever it is. And that got me in the habit. Then I started meditating. And now I meditate every day, and I do it for at least 20 minutes. Sometimes I do it for 40, but I often do it at night and for like 5 minutes or 7 minutes. And I have been learning that the meditation quiets my mind and allows me to, it's another level of my spirituality of being present and showing up and giving me permission, which I feel like the 12 steps and the 12 traditions are constantly saying, you know, be present, be aware. You know, you can't change. It's all about change, but it's also, it's not wishful thinking. It's not living in the future. It's not regretting the past. It's living now. And so this awareness has become an important part of the calmness and my willingness to wake up every day and be abstinent and commit my food. And these are the books that I read from. You can see that I use them a lot. I mark pages, I highlight, I highlight, I use them. They're filled with references, and I always carry them to the meetings that we use. And 2 minutes?
That was 15 minutes.
Oh, okay.
So now you want 2 minutes, when there's 2 minutes left?
Yes, please. I might finish early, even though we're chatterbox. Who knows? And I am a sponsor. And I have sponsees, and I find that sometimes I think, oh, I don't want any more sponsees because then I have a little bit more time in the morning. But having a sponsee is a gift. And those of you who are sponsors know this already, and those of you who will be sponsors, I just want to encourage you that it is a gift because it's a mirror looking back at yourself. Am I living the life that I'm saying I'm living? Am I doing the things that I say I'm doing? And why, what do I have to give? What am I doing living the program that will help you live the program and the life that you want to live? And it's responsibility about honesty and respect. I feel like it's a lot about respect, just talking to each other, saying what you're gonna do what you're gonna say, showing up and doing the work and being committed and asking questions and knowing that I don't have all the answers, but that I'm willing to consider anything. But I live my life in a program, because if I don't live my program, then I have to tell my sponsor, then I can't qualify at a meeting, then I can't be a speaker, then I can't do service. I do a lot of service. I am currently the treasurer for our intergroup, and I am a speaker getter at the Wednesday meeting. I am going to be the leader secretary the next few months at the Monday in-person meeting. I am a Zoom host, always somewhere. And I've been an intergroup rep, where I go to the assembly, and I'm sure I will do more in the future, just depending on what's going on. And what does that service do? The service, my life is in abstinence after many years, but I do the service to keep coming back to see you, to keep coming and keeping accountability for me and honesty, and to be a part of enriching the program, because I can't make sure that you do it and me only reap the rewards. I have to be part of the program, and that's one of my favorite things about this fellowship, is that there's no hierarchy, and we say it a lot, and it's true. I might have longevity now compared to someone who's been in for 2 months, but I am still learning, and I am still part of what makes each meeting come up. Making a Zoom meeting go live is my service. And I encourage anyone to do service, because in the end, it makes you think about program, why you're in program, what you're eating or not eating, what your abstinence level is, and that you get to connect with people who are just like you. And it's a responsibility, and it's an honor. And what else? Meditation, meeting, service, sponsorship, the basics. And I also wanted to say, I wanted to read this. Someone read this years ago, 2019, and I wrote it down. I'll read a little bit. So, physical, emotional, spiritual program. And some of you have heard this. Physical is about the food. Emotional is about the mood. Spiritual is about the tube. Physical is about my weight. Emotional is about my hate. Spiritual is about my faith. Physical is what I eat and drink. Emotional is how I feel and think. Spiritual is how I act and behave. And there are a lot of these sort of ideas about living my life with the three-legged stool, and it's changed so much for me. I couldn't even use the word spirituality when I first came into program, and I couldn't use the word prayer, and I couldn't say God in the word prayers. And I act as if, but I am living. I brought these to show you that I am living in the program, but it's not my whole life, but it allows me to have the life I want to live. And because of my maintenance, many of you know, I have one kidney, and I have one kidney because I donated a kidney. And 2 years ago, January 5th, my sister and I did a paired kidney transplant, and she needed a kidney. She was on dialysis for 6 months, and I gave her my kidney, and it was such an extraordinary experience. Not because it's me, it's because I had the physical body and the spiritual presence of mind and the emotional love and respect for science to let my body be examined. It was 3 days of doctor's tests. And one of the things you get back, you have 3 days of all these tests to see if you're eligible. I had to have my therapist write notes to say that I could handle this situation. And they like write on the remarks, unremarkable. So it was the best comment I'd ever had at a doctor. Like all these tests, unremarkable, like right in the green, right? You know, here's the low range, here's the high range, boom, unremarkable. And it was so exciting because that was time. Okay, so that is one of the best gifts I've done. And I just love that I could do that, and I couldn't have done it before I was in program, because I wouldn't have qualified my body wouldn't have been of value. And so I encourage everyone who can, see if you could be a kidney donor. It's a great honor. And I am just so pleased to be here. Thanks for listening. I pass.
Thank you.
Okay, now is the time for the seventh tradition. Our group expenses include literature and electric contributions. Our group expenses include literature and monthly contributions to our intergroup region and world service offices to help carry the message to other compulsive overeaters. A $5 donation is suggested. Your generous donation will ensure that this meeting will continue to reach out and help the compulsive overeaters still suffering. So we're passing the basket. Okay. All right. Now is the time for sharing. Please share your experience, strength, and hope, and confine your sharing to the program of recovery. Please refrain from crosstalk, which is giving advice to others who have already shared, or speaking directly to a person. Everyone, please stop talking when the two-minute timer goes off. Please refrain from clapping so we have more time for shares. And Wendy, do you have any topic that you feel would be good to discuss?
Yeah, I was thinking if you'd like, you could talk about how you live in the program, or if not, anything you'd like to share today.
Okay, great. All right, so we are now open for sharing. Yeah.
That close. Hey everybody, my name is Lynn. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Lynn.
Oh, thank you so much, Wendy, for your share, and great to see you and everybody here today. Coming up on our New Year's, and New Year's Day is my recommitted abstinence birthday. And the thing that really struck me too about that idea of like reprioritizing, and the truth is, the more I give to my program of recovery, the more time I have. That has been true for me since I came in. The idea of, well, how am I gonna have time for work this in, and whether it be planning around, you know, what I need to eat or whatnot, or my phone calls or my writing. When I first started working with sponsees, you know, oh my gosh, that's so much, you know, what can I, how can I do this? It always, because you know what, without this program, my mind is so occupied, not only with food, but just what about me? Where am I gonna get, oh my God, what's gonna be taken? And then I have no time for anything, you know, nothing outside. It's all self-driven. It's all inward, thinking about me, what, enough about me, what do you think of me? Just me. And if I want to guarantee like a bad day, which starts in here, it's let me think about me all day long. And it's just not usually like, I always say, like years ago, my fantasies of accepting the Oscar or getting the gold medal. I was thinking the Winter Olympics. I always think of the medals. Because when I was little, that was the thing. I'm going to get a gold medal in the Olympics for ice skating. You know, and every song that came on the top 40 was like, that's a great ice skating. But you know, that is not how I got in here. Like, that is not my mindset. When I got in here was, I'm a fucking mess, is the mindset that I came in here with. And it was, I quit something else as my annual New Year's diet, because that was the reason I was fat. And 3.5 months later, I'm like, I haven't lost an effing pound. Something else must be going on. And my husband said, I bet there's a 12-step program for food. And that's how I begrudgingly walked in here, you know, and or begrudgingly picked up the phone, I should say. By the time I got here and got to my first meeting, I knew I so belong here and I don't need to do it alone. So welcome, everybody. The more you give, the more time you have. I believe it for a fact.
Thank you. Great share, Wendy. My husband used to have a saying, and he still uses it occasionally. I'm Joanne, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Joanne.
But Carl would say, all right, well, enough about me talking about me. What do you want to say about me?
Right?
So, but I do want to just share one thing that when Wendy was preparing for that, for her surgery for the kidney and everything, she took care of herself. She called people, she said, what are some recipes? What am I gonna eat? And you know, I think you got a lot from everybody's soup recipes and everything that she could make ahead that she and her sister would be able to eat. And it's just an admiration of how much you went to this, the effort you went to keep your program. And lastly, I was visiting the little grandkids down in Southern California. They're 13 and 10, 11, I guess, so they're not so little. But my son and daughter were having a little contention, and the thing that came up to me was, gosh, I remember in the program when somebody was, the voices are raising and it's escalating a little bit about trying to decide things to do. I was so uncomfortable, and I'd have to say something like, oh, or I'd leave. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is not my business. I don't have anything to do with this. They will work this out. You know, they're not 10 and 13. They're adults. And it was like, oh, and it's only because of the program will let me do that, of going ahead and saying, yes, I'm uncomfortable, I want the best for them, you know, but I just said a little prayer and said, you know, help me step out of the way, this is not my show. And I would not have been able to do that before, because before program, I was so uncomfortable that, you know, want people to move or change or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, thank you. So grateful.
Hey everybody, my name is Evan.
Hi, Evan.
I'm here for that. Thank you for your share, Wendy. In my mind, that was remarkable. It was great. So, as the New Year's coming around, I'm looking at, I just had a road trip and met with family, and then more family, and then friends, and I just want to be alone. And what comes to mind, sort of relative to this program, and I love, I'm going to take a picture of that also, the three parts. For me to keep my eyes on my own plate. Mm. And that's like the food. And not in a, like people, oh, you're depriving yourself, you're not having that. No, I'm depriving myself if I have it. And I've had enough experience depriving myself by having it. Mm. By having it, the sugar, the flour, the baked goods, the poison. I'm the physical, I'm allergic to the stuff. Mm-hmm. Just like an alcoholic, I've never really drank it, but it's the same thing. The sugar. The cravings, I'm a drug addict, just like anybody else with it, you know, to some degree, without a doubt. And the spiritual, the reminder about, like, my first introduction to spirituality was 1989, coming into these rooms. It's like, wow. And then, you know, to see the emotional part, just the threefold stool, the three-legged stool, and, like, it's all really important. I was just hanging out with my two brothers, first time in decades together. Actually, no, first time in years. And they want no part of this, or religion, or spirituality in general. One guy doesn't care, the other guy is adamantly against it all. And to know that here I am as I go away, this is for me. Like, I can't argue that, no, this isn't. It makes sense. I love that thing about it. I didn't understand it until I understood it. It's like, wow, I like that. So, yeah, I'm glad to be here. Happy almost New Year's. I'm grateful to be absent and hungry today. It's really good. Thank you.
I'm Sherry, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Sherry.
Thank you, Wendy. I love your visual aids. And I want to invite anyone, if you want to go home today with any of the things she brought, we have them all over here too. And they're for sale. And if you don't have enough money with you today, that's fine. Just, you know, offer what you can to our current treasure
literature for today.
And I'm not sure what it is. They're all over there, everything she talks about, so please go take a look. And I love what you said about service, too, and that among all the other things you said, it helps you to connect with others. And that's like some of my, you know, fondest moments, if I look back on my life, is going to World Service and being there with 200 other compulsive readers from all over the world, and setting forth the policies for all of Overeaters Anonymous and serving on Region 2 board too. I mean, when I look back, I mean, I had a great career being a teacher and everything, but you know, I don't know, that wasn't a stretch for me. But the things I did in OA, I'd never done before, so that was another reason to do those services. I mean, a stretch, and then to do it well, you know, and I mean, that's very, that come first. They always have. They always. I've been in now 39 years, and I've never had that. And meetings still go first in my appointment book, on my calendar. Everything else has to go around. Thanks.
Thank you, Wendy, so much for your share. Really appreciate it. Such an inspiration for me. So, I love you. I love when you said that. For some reason, I'm so nervous right now. That you live if something, you know, you live as if. I think you said. And for me, that's what I am right now because. I'm fighting, I'm having dreams, and you know, why am I doing this? I cannot, why are you know, taking away my food? And my food is healthy, it's good for me, I'm not eating all the sugar, I'm eating the fruit and the stuff. I'm just such a fight over and over. Okay, let's do it today one more time. No, I'm not gonna go to the meeting. No, you're gonna go to the meeting. Just these two voices on my head all the time. But I'm here, I hear so much. Recovery, so much people saying that, like you said, now I'm living better, you know, that's not like my prison anymore, but I feel as a prison right now. But I want to get to the other side. So thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Melissa Compulsive
Reader. Hi, Melissa.
Thank you so much. No, it was really good to hear you, and I hadn't heard all that before, especially the kidney part. It's amazing. As some of you guys know, I'm from the Bay Area. We still own our home here in Belmont, but I've moved to the Netherlands 2 years ago, so I'm there now. And how do I live my program today? I've had to take it with me, and there aren't a lot of meetings in person in English. There's one about an hour drive away, 2 hours on on a Wednesday night that goes from 8 till 9, so I don't go to that. But I do a lot of stuff online now, so a lot of meetings online. Actually, all my meetings are pretty much online. I'm really excited to be here in person. It's like tangible, like you said. It's not just little squares. So exciting. And I have, you know, I'm part of a WhatsApp group that's for outreach calls. Anybody anywhere in the world that speaks English at any time or put out that I need an outreach call. I have a fellow who I have weekly calls with who lives in Switzerland, so in the same time zone, which is really nice. I have a sponsee who I've never met in person, never even seen her face, who lives in Canada. I really had to change my program, and although I do really, really miss this, it's really shown me that I can take my program with me wherever I go.
Say one thing to start out with. I had a little hearing problem, but I'm going to try to hear it. But that's my first time here.
Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. I will also be here.
What's your name?
Richard.
Hi, Richard.
And I'm kind of familiar with the situation because I was in a June 12, 1972. I haven't had a drink since. I used to go to a lot of AA meetings, so I understand the importance of meeting. I used to go to 7 a week when I first started. But anyway, my situation is
going to say, I'm going to pass this around. There are three people who would like a call. So there's one on this page, and then turn the page over. Thank you. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm also here.
Hi, Sarah.
Thanks, Wendy. That was so lovely. I don't remember what we said, how we've been doing our program for a long time. My main thing, well, this meeting, this is my one meeting. I've never managed to do the Zoom very well, but this is fantastic. I'm so glad that this exists. And then I write every day now, and back to my giving day, and that is amazing. And then I read, like, I cut my daily readers down from 10 to, I think I'm down to like 5. For 2 from this program, and then the other 12 steps and stuff. One thing that's happening that's what I'm thinking about a lot this week is this year has been a year of saying, learning how to say no to people I know really well, I've known for a long time, with food and like sort of training my people. And I feel like that's been a success. So what's really hard is I have some new friends that it's like, then like we're sort of becoming friends. And it's like this dumb, like I want them to like me, so I need the birthday cake. And I bought this special for you. And I'm not, that's dumb because I need to just be the person I want to be, which is what we're doing in here. And if they're really going to be, I need to be who I am and not like it's. Anyway, so that's still really a challenge, is like making new relationships. But I mean, okay, so I didn't do it right this week. But there's more time to practice, as per always. and that's all I have.
Thank you.
Okay, let's see. We have time for one quick share. Anybody? No? All right, very good. Well, I wish to thank those who came today. I remind the group of our cherished tradition of anonymity. Who you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here.
Here, here.
For those who wish, please join me at the OA promise. I put my hand in yours. There are two columns here on the table if you want to refer to them.
Put my hand in yours, and together we can do what we could never do alone. No longer is there a sense of hopelessness. No longer must we each depend upon our own unsteady willpower. We are all together now, reaching out our hands for a power and strength greater than ours. And as we join hands, we find love and understanding beyond our wildest dreams. Keep coming back. It works when you work it and you're worth it.
All right.
Well, I got the homie.
If you've enjoyed listening to the Overeaters Anonymous podcast, hit the like button and subscribe to receive future episodes. If you are looking for a meeting online or in person, visit www.oamidpeninsula.org.